the Arthur Hayes Show. Presenting Arthur Haynes and Nicholas Parsons in sketches by Johnny Spaight, with songs by Joe Brown and his brothers.
Having workmen into one's house is not always particularly pleasant. Banging and knocking and tramping all over the house. Sometimes they cause more damage than that they've come to repair.
Coming, coming. I'm coming, coming, coming. Oh. Coming. Coming. Oh, really? Really? All right, I'm coming.
Yes? I thought I'd knock.
I heard you.
Yes, well, it's just... how are you, all right?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Yeah, well, good morning to you.
Well, good morning to you.
Nice morning.
It's not bad.
Well, it's nice. It's nice. It was a lovely morning yesterday morning.
What do you want?
Well, if tomorrow morning's as nice as it was yesterday morning, we're going to have a smashing morning this morning. How are you? All right. You know me, don't you? Look at me as though you don't know me. You know me, don't you? You know me?
No, I don't know you.
You do. Have another look.
I'm having another look.
Well, you know me. You must know me.
Look, I haven't come down here at this hour in the morning to the front door to have guessing games.
Well, you wrote me. You wrote me a note. You sent
I wrote you?
There was a note in my office. Haynes, the name. H-A-Y-N, yes.
You're the foreman decorator.
That's right. You said you didn't know me. You know me. You do know me.
No, I don't
you do.
Know
you. You know me. You know me.
Look, for goodness sake, quiet! Sorry, I'm sorry. It's rather early in the morning to play games, I said before. Look, I don't know your face, but I do know who you are, and I'm sorry. I'm very pleased you got here, because I do want to see you. Now, will you please come inside?
What do you want me to come inside for?
I told you in my letter I want you to come here and see what your men have done with my room. Right, now, will you follow me, please?
Oh, is this it?
No, this is the dining room.
Is this it?
No, this is the drawing room.
Is this it?
No, this is the library. This is the room. Now then, what have you got to say?
It's about time you got some carpet down.
Never mind about the carpet. I want to know what you think about this room.
Well, it looks a bit of a mess to me. It looks as though it could be redecorated, as far as I'm concerned.
I quite agree with you. It could be redecorated. But I'll tell you something. I had that down only 6 weeks ago.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, it didn't take you long to get it filthy dirty again, did it? I mean, look at all those dirty finger marks all over the wall. Look at them. Dirty finger marks
your
everywhere.
Men.
Look, all over the place.
Your men did that when they came here yesterday.
What, those filthy, dirty finger marks?
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, they can't help making a bit of a mess, can they, mate? I mean, they got their job to do, haven't they?
But they weren't working in here. They were working in the kitchen.
Well, what were they doing in here, then?
They came in here to have their dinner.
Well, I mean, they've got to have their dinner somewhere, mate, haven't they?
Yes,
to have it somewhere,
yes,
haven't
I grant you that they have. But they don't have to eat in here. Even I don't eat in this room. This is my special room, where I keep all my priceless antiques and china. I don't expect workmen to come in here and eat their dinner.
Well, I can't understand why they came in here in the first place. I mean, they're usually very fussy, and this room's filthy, isn't it?
This room was spotlessly clean before your workmen came and ate their dinner in here. And another thing I want to speak to you about.
Yeah?
Come over here. Look at that chair there.
Yeah?
Just look at that chair.
I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it.
Do you know what you are looking at?
Yes.
Well, tell me.
I'm looking at a chair.
That chair is a genuine French Empire chair. Look at the tapestry on it. It is unique. And now, just look at it. It is covered with grease. There's one leg broken, and it cost me 140 guineas.
Well, I reckon you were caught.
You're talking about... What are you talking about?
Well, fancy you buying a chair that's filthy dirty with a leg broken for 140 guineas. I reckon you were caught, mate. I must have seen you come in.
That chair was perfect till one of your men sat on it.
Oh, well, that's what chairs are for, mate, isn't it, for sitting in? I mean, you must admit that. I mean, that's what a chair's made for, to sit in.
Delicate French Empire chairs, such as that one there, are not for sitting in by 20 stone decorators wearing filthy, lousy, dirty overalls. And another thing. Come over here. Now, I want you to look at this table here.
Yeah.
Look at that table.
I'm looking.
Well, do you know what you are looking at?
Yes.
Tell me.
A table.
Look, that is a Chippendale table. A genuine Chippendale, a perfect piece. Now, you see those marks? Look at those marks there.
Yeah, that's all right. I know what they are, mate. You don't have to tell me.
What are they?
Knot holes.
Those marks are where your men stubbed out their cigarettes. Look, the stubs are still there.
Oh, now, just a minute. You're not going to start blaming my men for that, mate. They don't smoke cigarettes like that, mate. Those are Turkish cigarettes with gold tips on, and they can't afford cigarettes like that, mate.
I know they can't. They were my cigarettes they smoked. 150 of them. Come over here. There's something else I want to show you. Now, look at that. Look at that vase.
I'm looking. I'm having a look.
As I said before, do you know what you are looking at?
Yes, I'm looking at a vase.
No, that is a Ming vase. It is a Ming. It is of the Ming dynasty. It is unique. It's priceless. There's but only one other in existence. That is a Ming vase. Well, and look what your men have done in it. I said, look what your men have done in it.
Well, they've only made their tea in it.
Only made their tea in a Ming vase. Look at that picture up there. Do you know what that picture is?
Yes.
What?
Whistler's father.
That is Whistler's mother.
Whistler's mother?
Whistler's mother. It's
Are
a very
sure?
famous picture.
What, with the moustache and glasses?
Whistler's mother doesn't have a moustache and glasses.
No, but this one has.
I know. One of your men drew the moustache and glasses.
Oh, I know who that'd be.
Who?
That'd be old Harry. Yeah, he's the artist. He's got his touch. Yes, he would do that. Yes, it would be Harry. Harry.
All right, well, talking about Harry, look at this fireplace there. That is an Adam fireplace, and carved right across it is, Harry was here.
Well, Harry was here, I just told you. He was the fellow that put the moustache and glasses on,
yes,
with his mother.
And I'll tell you something else. If he comes back here, I will kill him. Another thing. Look at this carpet. This carpet. Look, a beautiful, perfect, perfect carpet. Black footprints all over it.
Yeah, well, I've got no sympathy with you there, mate. That's your own fault. You should have told my workmen when they come in to take their boots off.
I did. They made those marks with their feet. They've ruined the room. Do you know something? I am going to write to your boss, and I'm going to tell him something in that letter. I'm going to tell him that I don't want any more of his employees in this house if they're all such dirty, great, clumsy oafs.
Hey, you calling me a dirty, great, clumsy oaf?
I wasn't talking to
you. Yes, you were. You were referring to my governor's workman, and I'm one of them, mate. You called me a dirty, great, clumsy oaf. Yes, you did. You called me a dirty, great, clumsy oaf.
I wasn't... Look,
I could have you for definition of character, you know.
I wasn't referring to you personally.
Right, well, I'll accept your apologies now.
Thank you very much indeed.
That's all right now then. Do you want this room done up or don't you?
Well, it looks as if I'll have to have it done up, doesn't it?
Well, I should say so, because whoever did this room, mate, made a rotten job of it, mate, didn't they? I tell you, look at the paintwork. I mean, that paint shouldn't flake off like this after 6 weeks.
What are you talking about?
Well, they put a lot of old tat on there, mate. That's what they've done. They've used cheap old stuff. I suppose they didn't charge you much. I suppose you wanted to save a few bobs, so it didn't cost you much, did it?
Well, if you must know, it was an extremely expensive job.
Well, they must have been robbers. That's what they are, mate. Robbers. A right botch up this is, if you ask me. Now, right, who did it?
You did.
Are you sure?
I'm quite certain.
Oh, well, there must be something wrong then. There must be something wrong somewhere. Oh, yes, I can see the trouble now. It's the wall. The wall's damp. That's why the paint's flaking off. Oh, yes, it's a wall. That's what it is. It's damp, yes. If I was you, I'd have that wall pulled down.
Look,
mate.
I don't wish to have that wall pulled down. I don't need to. That wall has stood there for 200 years.
Oh, no wonder it's damp, then. It must be damp by now. This side's all right. Don't worry about this side. This side. But it's this side that's got the damp in it. Just here, look. There you are. Just there.
But you... Now, look what you've done. Look, my collection of antique Chelsea plate broken.
Well, you shouldn't hang them on a wall that's crumbling.
They fell down when you banged that wall.
Now, don't start giving me that. I didn't bang the wall. I just tapped it like this. That's all I did.
Now... Oh, look what you've done. You great flaming idiot! You ruined the rest of my plate. Those plates were unique. They were priceless. They cost me a fortune. They were irreplaceable.
Well, don't cry. I mean, it's not my fault. It's no good you blaming me. The wall's crumbling with damp.
It's not damp!
I'm telling you, the wall's damp, and I'll prove it to you. I'll prove the wall's damp.
Listen. Look what you've done there. That's water!
I told you, damp.
Water! Don't you fool! You've just put your chisel straight through my hot water system. Well, don't just stand there. Look, you're flooding the carpet. You're flooding the room. Do something, man. Do something.
I can't touch that, mate.
What do you mean you can't touch it?
That's a plumber's job. That's union rules, mate.
You've got to do something.
No, I'm sorry, mate. If I touch that, the rest of my workmen will come out.
Well, you've got to do something. You don't stand there. What are you going to do?
Well, I don't know about you. I think you better pass me that Ming vase.
Why?
Well, I'm going to have a cup of tea. It's a pity to waste all this boiling water.
Time now for a song, and today we welcome Joe Brown and his brothers.
I'm the sheik of Araby.
Araby, Araby, Araby.
The world belongs to me.
The moon from me back to you.
At night when you're asleep.
Asleep, asleep, asleep.
Into your tent, I'll creep
with my boots on, kicking up the dust.
The moon that shines above,
up above, up above, up above.
They're gonna light our way to love. Oh yeah, you'll rule this great big world with me, 'cause I'm the sheik of Araby. Dad's gone down the doctoring, mother's playing bingo, brother's fiddling with the telly, trying to make the finger. No one seems to notice me, it's a near sin, or the crazy world we're living in. Now the old man never talks to me, and when he does it's mum, Wash your face, it looks a disgrace. Oh, wouldn't that be young? He says, I'm irresponsible, not like when he was young. Then he puts on his cap and coat to watch the greyhounds run. Whoa! It's gone down to Dr. Rack. Mother's playing bingo. Granny's boozing in the parlour. You want to see the gin go? No one seems to notice me. Isn't it a sin? What a crazy world we're living in. Mother says, I look a yob, me trousers are too tight. She says, I ought to get a job and not stay out all night. She doesn't like my haircut. She says, me friends are lousy. And then she said, it's getting late. Oh, miss me, howsy, howsy, oh. It's gone down to Dr. Rack. Mother's playing bingo. Sister smooching on the sofa. You want to hear the spring go? No one seems to notice me. He's only nursing. What a crazy world we'll live in. Hey! And the law pulled me out feeling, took me down the nick. The sergeant made out his report and he laid it on real thick. He said, I'll fetch your parents, I ought to be their groom. Save yourself the trouble, mate, you'll never find an end. Cause Dad's gone down to Dr. Rack. Mother's playing bingo. Me brothers are all they are, but so what a life by jingo. No one seems to notice me. He's earning a sin.
What a crazy world we'll live in.
Hey!
What a crazy world we'll live in.
Hey!
What a crazy world we'll live in.
Of course, the office of a large daily newspaper is a very busy place, and the editor usually brooks no intrusion. But at the same time, there are people he must see just in case they do have a story.
Hold the front page.
Excuse me, sir.
What is it?
There's a fellow outside, sir. He wants to see you.
I can't see anyone this morning. I've got the first edition to get out.
But, sir, he says he said he's got a story.
Yes? Who is it?
Well, his name is Haynes. He reckons he's been selling our newspapers for over 30 years.
Oh, yes? And you think he might have a story, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it won't hurt to see him, I suppose. All right, show him in.
Mr. Haynes, sir.
Oh, Mr. Haynes.
That's right, yes, yes.
Come in, take a seat.
Thank you.
Okay, Noyes, I'll handle this. So you're Mr. Haynes,
that's
eh?
That's right, yes, yes, yes.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you. Oh, just a moment. Well, he'll have to wait. Hold the front page. Well, Mr. Haynes, they tell me you've been selling our paper for over 30 years.
That's right, yes. I started when I was 7 years old. I started as soon as I left school, I did. It was my first job.
But surely, Mr. Haynes, you didn't leave school at 7 years old.
Oh, well, no, not officially. I didn't leave school officially until I was 14. But I stopped going when I was 7. That was my dad's idea, that was. I always remember he called me over. He said, son, he said, you're not going to get anywhere, he said, going to that school. He said, I've been reading about millionaires, he said, and now they make all their money and all that, he said. He said, I think I know the secret, he said. He said, what he said to me, he said, I'm going to help you. He said, you know what, son? He said, I'm going to help you be a millionaire, that's what he said. He said, I know what they've been doing. He said, I've been studying them, all these millionaires. He said, I know how they make their money. He said, what they've done, he said, they've all started at your age, 7 years old. He said, selling newspapers barefooted in the street. So you know what he did?
Huh?
He gave me 4 newspapers, took me boots off and slung me out.
Hello. Yes, yes, hold the front page. And you've been selling our newspapers ever since?
That's right. My father was right. I made a lot of money. I'll tell you what, by the time I was 25, I made enough money to buy myself another pair of boots.
And what do you think about paper, Mr. Haynes?
What, the paper I'm selling, you mean? These days, you mean? Yes. Well, it's gone off a bit. That's what I've come to talk to you about. My sales are down. That's one of the things I want to talk to you about. My sales being down, like, that's what I've come to talk to you about.
I see. You think there's something wrong with the paper?
Well, I do. I do, personally, myself. I mean, I'm the one at 7 of them. I mean, you have a look at today's edition there. I know. Just have a butcher's at this look. Now, you've got 4 full pages about washing machines. There's 3-4 pages about holidays on the Costa Brava. There's 2 pages of houses for sale and 7 pages of servants wanting jobs. I mean, you can't sell a paper like that for threepence, mate. Not to my customers. I mean, all my lot, they can't even afford a day down at Southend, let alone the Costa Brava. And what about the news? You've got no news items. You've not got one murder in it. I mean, there hasn't been one murder for weeks in this paper. Not one murder. I mean, you get a good whodunit and you can sell thousands of papers. You know that. Nothing sells better than a good whodunit or a nice juicy scandal. What about a nice juicy divorce scandal? Get one of those in.
Mr. Haynes, it's not my fault there hasn't been any murders or juicy divorce scandals.
Well, I mean, you're the editor, mate, don't you? I mean, you're the one. And another thing I want to talk to you, what about all this knocking you keep doing to everybody? You keep knocking everybody. I mean, they've had a strike in a car factory near my pitch, and you go and knock the strikers. And those strikers are my customers. I mean, that's not very nice, is it? That's not very nice at all.
We have to say what we think about strikes.
Yeah, say what you think, but use your loaf, mate. I mean, don't say it in the papers that you give me.
But, Mr. Haynes, we can't get out special editions for special areas.
Well, why not? It'd be more tactful, wouldn't it? I mean, you could praise the strikers then in my area, couldn't you? Praise them in my area and knock them somewhere else. I'll tell you, what about the sporting page? What about your racing tips? And now, there's a fella.
Well, what about him?
Well, look, 15 off the trot he had last week.
What, winners?
No, losers. I mean, you can't expect my people to come round and buy those papers with a tipster like that, could you? Pick it. I mean, they want a tipster that can pick winners, not losers.
Just a moment. Is there anything else wrong with the paper?
Well, there is a bit. I'd like to see this one that does the woman's page, this Audrey Ann Martin. I'd like to have a chat with her, if you don't mind.
Oh, you would you?
Yes, I would, yes. I'd just like to tell her a few things.
Just a moment. Is Audrey Ann Martin in the building, please? Oh, is that you, Audrey? Look, would you come into my office? There's a gentleman who would like to have a word with you. Mr. Haynes. Thank you. Audrey won't be a moment, Mr. Haynes. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to hold the front page.
Oh, I say, I'm fine, Miss. I thought the editor was here.
No, he's just gone out to hold the front page.
I say, are you Mr. Haynes?
That's right. How did you know? Who are you then?
Oh, I'm Audrey Ann Martin.
You're Audrey Ann Martin?
Yes, that's right. Yes, Audrey Ann, you know. Mercy on me, just Audrey. Yes, you're Mr. Haynes, eh?
That's right.
I even want to ask me some questions, Mr. Haynes. Well, far away, you know. Bang, 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 all that. Questions, eh?
Well, the first question I'd like to ask you, then, is if you're Audrey Ann Martin, what are you dressed up like a man for, then?
Well, I am a man, you see.
You are a man?
Yes.
Well, didn't your mum and dad know, then?
Know what?
Well, that you was a man.
I don't follow you. Of course they knew that I was a man. I mean, it was pretty obvious. No, of course, they knew I was a man, all right.
Well, if they knew you were a man, then what do they want to give you a girl's name for, then?
I don't understand.
Well, I thought perhaps they didn't know.
No, my name's a non-diplume, actually.
A non-diplume?
Non-diplume, yes.
Oh, see, so Audrey's not your real name, then?
Oh, no, that's not my real name. No, my real name is Nicholas.
Well, I'm very, very pleased to hear that.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't think you'd have led a very happy life as a girl, you.
Oh, really? Well, why do you say that?
Well, I mean, that face and those legs, mate, I mean, they don't look too bad on a man, but they wouldn't suit the girl, I don't think. Not too much.
I get your point now, by Jove, yes. Oh, jolly good, yeah, sure, you're quite a character, aren't you, Mr. Haynes? Anyway, you wish to ask me some questions, you wish to see me, is that right?
Yeah, well, it's about this woman's page, you're right.
Oh, yes.
I'm just thinking, I think you're just a bit off the beam, Audrey.
Oh. off the beam?
Yeah, you're just writing for all one class, you are. I mean, all this fashion rubbish is. I mean, dresses are getting higher above the knee and lower beneath the chin, you know.
Yes.
I mean, it's a racket. These dresses are getting smaller and smaller and the price is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
I see, what we've got to do now is we're paying much more now for a lot less. I mean, the way you fashion blokes are going on, mate, women will be wearing nothing at all very soon. It'll be costing us a fortune.
No, Mr. Haynes. No, what we on the fashion page endeavour to do is to bring a little gaiety and excitement into the life of the average woman. You know, we like her to dress in such a way that she feels gay and mysterious, you know, reckless, even extravagant.
You're not married, are you?
No, I'm not, no.
No, I thought not. Look, mate, my missus is extravagant enough as it is without you poking your nose in.
A woman could look exciting and gay without spending a lot of money these days. I mean, with modern designs and new fabrics, every woman can look exciting and mysterious for only a few shillings.
Every woman?
Every woman.
Yeah, you ain't seen my wife, mate. Mysterious? The only mystery about her, mate, is why I married the old rat bag. Plastic surgery, yes. But no dress is not going to make her look mysterious, I'll tell you that, mate. Yeah, you can't make a silk purse out of a pig's ear. No, the only fashion note that's any good to her, mate, is how to make her last year's red flannel nightgown bigger for this year.
Excuse me, these are the proofs for today's edition, Audrey.
Oh, thank you, Harold. Sweet of you to pop in, darling. I'll have a look into them later.
All right, Audrey.
Well, bye-bye, Harold.
Bye, Audrey.
Cheerio, Harold.
Harold?
Yes, yes. That's our sports reporter. We always address each other by our pen names in the office, you know. Rather fun, don't you think?
Hello, you still here, Mr. Haynes? Well, have you got a story out of him yet, Audrey?
Well, no, I'm not sure. Have we got a story yet, Mr.
Well, Hill? I think I've got a story for you to fill the front page.
Front page? Marvellous. What is it?
It's about my brother.
Oh, yes? So what's his name?
Phyllis.
You've been listening to The Arthur Haynes Show with Arthur Haynes, Nicholas Parsons, Barney Galbraith, Leslie Noyes and Norman Ronald in sketches by Johnny Spate. Our musical guests, Joe Brown and his brothers. The show was produced for the BBC by Richard Dingley.